yesterday. I'm once again joined by sports journalist and author Scoop Jackson. Scoop, what's going on, bro?
Nothing, John. What's going on, man? How you doing? Appreciate you having me back on, man.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, man. Staying busy, man. NBA season never stopped this week. We're 8 weeks away from opening night again, bro. I love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the NBA, it's funny because you don't think about it as opening night to a certain degree because it never takes a break.
Right.
And that's the one thing I do give the NBA credit for is that they keep the drama going, man.
Yeah.
they keep the drama going. So it can be good or bad, but they keep the drama going.
Definitely. As we're speaking, the 2022-23 schedule is being released as we speak. Some Christmas Day games got leaked. We all knew Golden State was going to play. You got Golden State. That's going to be a good matchup. They got a little – I can't see a rivalry going, but they're starting to go back and forth with each other.
Yeah, they do, especially the way the playoffs were last year and the way they challenged Golden State last year. It's a smart tactical move by the NBA to put that back on as one of the marquee games on Christmas to get you excited. That's a smart marketing. The NBA, for the most part, has been smart about marketing. But look, let me ask you a question.
Right.
On
right.
topic, do you – because my sons and I were talking about this. Do you feel that the Knicks deserve a Christmas game?
With their current record, no. With the marquee, they're the Knicks, yes. Because any holiday they play on, it'll be the Knicks. Everyone loves playing in the Mecca of basketball. Yes, I really do.
Here's the thing. I was telling us, I said it's a market move because you get to sell the Garden, and just if nobody outside of New York watches, you got like 7 to 10 million people right there. So
it's
a locked-in viewership. But they were making the point that there's other teams that – with markets that aren't as big as New York, but could extend beyond New York and still get you that, you know, the ratings and, you know, that you're looking for. You know, one of them, of course, is Chicago, because we're from Chicago, so they're always going to support that.
Right.
You know, and their thing was, even from a marketing standpoint, who are you going to really sell outside of the Garden get people outside of New York to watch?
Right.
He said, at least with the Bulls, you have two superstars, two all-stars, that if you're not pushing the Bulls, you know, you're pushing the two superstars, depending on who you line them up with. And
right.
if you want to, they're like, if Lonzo Ball is healthy, you got a third party you could bring in there. And I'm like, it's hard for me, like, to argue with that, especially
right.
the way the Knicks looked last year. And no disrespect, because I love Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
But he's not a marquee name that's going to get anybody outside of New York to dive in. And my sons made a great point. They just said, look, man, people are going to watch the first 5 minutes of that game, and they're done.
Right. Yeah, the Knicks went all in on Jalen Brunson. He showed off in the playoffs. We know what he can do. But they went after him like he was like KD or somebody. Like, we got to get him. And
yeah.
we got him. I mean, like –
I get them getting him. It's a great basketball move. I get it. I'm questionable of how Thibodeau is going to play him after what he, you know, went through with Kemba Walker. You know, and as much as I love Thibodeau, I'm still scratching my head on that in his utilization of a player to that degree when your team is losing. What happens if he, you know, 3 weeks in falls out of love with Brunson?
Yeah, true.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, he's not producing. So, what, you know, I don't know how that's going to work. And on a Christmas Day game, like you said, they announced the schedule. I'm vacillating back and forth because I understand the marketing piece.
Right.
You know, I understand New York as a market. It's so big. But, they, you know, it's not like they've had Christmas games in the past.
Right.
So I'm wondering, what did they base it on? It's not like they based it on, like, last season. Year before last, definitely.
Yeah.
But – my son made a good Chicago or Atlanta could have been better. You know what I'm saying? Atlanta.
Very true.
They could put Trey on Christmas Day. And I'm like, that's a good point, you know.
Right.
I thought I'd throw it out there to you, you know, somebody with, you know, some expertise and knowledge in this.
Yeah, it was a great – I mean, it's a great point, honestly. They could have had more of those teams selected. Definitely.
Yeah. And they're like, hey, man, Atlanta got a big – Atlanta has a big following, even though Atlanta's not a big place, but they cover that South.
Yeah.
You know, with Atlanta Hawks, you're going to get Florida. You're going to get, you know, spots, you know, like even the Carolinas.
Right.
You know, you're going to get them because they support, you know, the South rolls and dies with anything Atlanta. So I was like, you're making good points.
Yeah, and with this is DeJounte Murray, him and Drake won't be a problem.
They're like, yo, you got the
yes.
Yeah, right. Right. John Collins is still there. You just like, yo, what are you doing? Putting the Knicks on.
Right.
I'm like, that's a good point. It's hard to argue, man.
Yeah. We're going to see what Brunson and Brunson and crew do. I mean, Obi Toppin,
yeah.
RJ Barrett. So we're going to see how they click.
Yeah. Well, let's see. You know, by the time the game comes around, if they're playing decent basketball, then, you know, all this is for not in the NBA would look like geniuses.
Right.
You know, but I'll tell you one thing, though. Before we switch up what we're going to talk about, Nike better come out with some fire Christmas uniforms for New York.
Yeah, they right.
Yeah, they just got to be tight, man, to make up for, like, you know, if they're playing sorry like they did last year,
right?
You know, the fit, at least for Christmas, they got to be, like, blaze.
Definitely.
Inferno, like, for real, because at least, you know, they'll get something out of that where we're rushing to rushing to the spots and doing online shopping to get the new Christmas fit.
Right, definitely. Yeah, man, the season, the schedule is being released as we speak. Durant has overtaken the headlines this brief offseason with his demands for it. In a way, he said he don't want to mix with Nash and the upper management anymore, or Nash and the Steve Nash and the general manager, I'm sorry.
Right.
I mean, it threw me off a little bit when we went to the trade. I'm like, he knows what's going on inside. But on the basketball court, looking at basketball-wise, some of you, I'm like, dude, you could have Kyrie. I mean, Ben Simmons coming back hopefully this time.
Right.
I mean, you have a great crew. You have a legit chance to have a great run, a legit shot. But I'm like, I don't think they can trade him because they're not going to give themselves value anyway.
Right. And the fact that he signed to a four-year deal.
Right. He just signed it. Like,
is why they're not – why they're asking for so much in return, because at the end of the day, they don't have to really do anything, and they know how KD feels about basketball.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'd rather have a mad KD on the court than no KD at all. So I think, you know, from that perspective, they'll take their chances. So,
right.
You know, but I think this has – I don't think this has anything to do with basketball. My belief is this, and you made the comment about, like, he's going to have Kyrie. And as much as I love Kyrie going through the past couple of seasons, there's no guarantee in that.
That's true.
You know, and I'm not saying Kyrie has made excuses or anything. I think he just stands on his principles.
Right.
Which I respect. You know, a lot of people don't agree with that. But, you know, If a person has principles and they're strong in their conviction on things,
right?
I think as a human being, that a lot of times, even with whatever contract you sign, if what you're being asked to do puts at stake what you feel is your own humanity,
right?
You know, I think your humanity should come first, and you know, if that's your conviction, then you know, I may not like it, but I respect it. And in Kyrie's case, we've had two incidents over the course of 2 years that have stood against his personal conviction.
Right.
My thing is this. We don't know what's coming up next. So I hate to say this, but there's no guarantee that Kyrie's going to be on the floor. It could be anything from, you know, midterm turnouts at the election.
Right.
You know, and where this country stands on that, it could, you know, hell, he could have sat out for the overturning of Roe versus Wade.
True.
To make a stronger point, which, once again, if that's your conviction, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, it could be it could be, you know, he's like, hey, unless you all really do something about getting, you know, Brittany Griner out of this situation and dealing with Russia.
Right.
You know, then it could be another brother getting shot.
Yeah, I'm going to say it. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be monkeypox or polio. You know, it could be anything that is in contrast with his conviction.
Right.
As he's shown in the past few years, that takes precedence over the game of basketball and his contract he signed to play basketball.
True.
So all I'm saying is that when we make the comment that, like, Kyrie's going to be back, there's no guarantee in that. Because anything could come up. And I think, if you ask me, and I haven't spoken to anybody, but I'm of the belief that that's part of the reason, one of the underlying reasons why I think KD probably wants or requested a trade. I'm not going to say demand.
Right.
Requested a trade.
Because stability is a motherfucker. Stability is a motherfucker. You need stability around you regardless of what you're doing.
Right. Right. So, John, let's be honest. If KD goes to Kyrie, and that's what they boys is, KD understands.
Yeah.
Kyrie, he's not upset with him. He's not mad. But he, from a basketball standpoint, he's like, all right, man, I can't do this again. Can you guarantee me you're going to be on the floor this season, regardless of anything that happens?
Right.
Can you make me that commitment? And I can't see Kyrie making anybody that commitment.
Yeah, because earlier in the summer, Sy came out and said he had to talk to Kyrie emphasize that they want a different Kyrie this year. I mean,
right.
So
that was been said, and what happened right after that?
Right.
Right, so and it's not saying that it's not going to happen. Even
though
it's going to be signed, but we're saying it's not going to happen. We don't know what's going to come up in the future that can shift the dynamic back to where it has been with Kyrie for the last 2 years. And if I'm Kevin Durant and I can't get that guarantee, then I don't want to just be on the floor alone again to do this. I'm not mad at my man because, that's who you are as a human being. I respect that. You have something you strongly believe in, and those are your principles. I'm with you. And I'm in line with your principles. I'm just not taking it out on the game. That's fine.
Right.
But at this point, you sat out. I was out 1 year due to injury. So you held that year down.
Yeah.
The last 2 years, I've held it down on my end because of your personal beliefs. And I get that. I'm down. Now, in this last year, even though I resigned, because none of us saw this. None of us foresaw any of this.
Right.
So at least my man, in his last year, barring injury, can I get 82 out of you? And if Kyrie's like, man, I can't promise you that, dog. I can't promise you that. And he's like, all right, cool, bet, man. Dap it up. It's all love.
Right.
All right. Well, you know, Kyrie's resigning. I'm not, I need a guarantee from somewhere else.
Right.
No, not that I don't want to play with him, but I need a guarantee for somewhere else because I can't do this again for a third year in a row if something comes up.
Yeah, because Kevin Durant is still in his prime, but he's an alpha, but he needs help. Even though seeing LeBron took to the finals, he had help. He was
a lot of
player.
Help.
Yeah, people open
a lot of help
sometimes. Like the team he took to the Cavs team, whatever he's talking about, they still helped him get there. He was a main player, but he needed them. People open up that sometimes, like he didn't do it by himself.
The dude we're talking about right now,
right? Like
we're talking about right now, right? Exactly. And if he hadn't gotten hurt in that first series against Golden State, we still don't know if Golden State pulls that out.
You're right. You're right.
Go back to game one. Kyrie and Steph were 1-1.
Right.
They won that. I think Kyrie blocked his shot at the end of the game. I think.
Yeah,
they ended up winning the game. They were going, Kyrie was using that as his proving ground.
Exactly.
He was going all in. So, I think players like that are beyond help. You know, and I think KD understands that this isn't help. This is a partnership. You know what I'm saying? And in order to get a ring, I'm a part of something. Everything has to fall right. This is a partnership. And
right.
I guarantee from a partner, if we've been here, this is going to be our fourth year, and I can't get a guarantee, then, I need to, like, really look elsewhere. Hopefully I can get a guarantee somewhere because I need to partner up with somebody else in order to get past a LeBron and AD, in order to get past a Steph, Clay, and Draymond, and Andrew Wiggins, in order to get past. You know, a Kawhi and a John Wall and a Paul George. You know, we can go through all the teams, a Giannis and a Chris.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody can back healthy.
Embiid and James Harden and, you know, whoever else you want to throw. Tobias Harris, you know, everybody else is partnered up. I can't do this solo. And I tried. I tried to do this solo 2 years ago.
Yes.
And that one, and I was one shot away from, you know, making a chance, not the chance.
Right.
I gave you everything I could. You know, because James Harden wasn't really, basically he was, you know, bullshitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's 1 year in the playoffs. And last year, you know, there were too many things going wrong. You know, and he wasn't playing well at the time, probably because of fatigue.
Right.
KD was, you know. So without having a guarantee, you know, I can see where this is going on, but I think we need to, like, acknowledge that there's a strong possibility that guarantee wasn't there. And part of the reason I think KD flows like this is because of what you just said. He understands he needs partners in order to do this.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't mind. If I'm the lead dude, I'm fine. I mean, he went to a team where he partnered up with him and wound up being the best player on that team.
Yeah, a lot of people overlooked that, too.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
They needed him, essentially, the way he played out.
Yeah.
back-to-back game-winning shots, both series, both years back-to-back. Five damn near.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he becomes – how do you – on a team that's considered one of the greatest teams ever, how do you go there and become the best player?
Right.
You know, that's, you know, it depends on their perspective of how they look at it.
Yeah.
People look at it as running from the situation.
Yeah.
I look at it as going to a situation and, like, letting them know that it's not that you necessarily need me, but I'm that dude.
Yeah.
I'll come here and I'll play everybody. I can come here and make this mine if I want to do that.
Yes.
Man, that's a hard thing. To me, that's just as hard as, you know, winning it damn near on your own. Like doing what Kawhi did when he got to, you know, Toronto. It was like,
oh, yes.
Tough thing to do, man. And go
yes.
to the best team ever and like, no, this is mine. That's, you know, you got to give a brother credit.
Yeah, back-to-back finals MVP. And LeBron came out and said, at all the players, KD was an X factor. He said he was the reason. He was the reason. Like,
he was the reason because they had nobody to guard. He became during that stretch the most difficult matchup problem, one of probably the most difficult matchup problems in NBA history, along with Shaq.
Yes. Yes. You know, oh, Shaq was a whole problem, bro.
Yeah, Shaq was a whole problem. Shaq was a whole problem.
Jeez.
A whole problem. But Shaq's problem was a lot of times he would get in his own way. The key to Shaq was not stopping him. The key to Shaq was taking advantage, if you could, of his wanting to be dominant and get him in foul trouble early.
Yes.
You know, if you could draw two early fouls on Shaq, because what he's going to do is get in the paint, turn his elbows up high. You know, if you can get two offensive foul charges on him early on, make him change his game. And Shaq did that a lot. He for his career, never deviated away from that. He played the game one way, and that was to dominate. There was no finesse in his game.
Yeah, he did.
He mentally wanted to destroy you as well.
Yes, he did.
But if you could physically find a way to take that away from him, you know, I wish I would have, you know, Olajuwon did it, but that Shaq was so early in his career that he had to figure it out. But, you know, I would have loved to have seen some center with, like, a Kevin McHale intellect or an Olajuwon intellect go up against those Lakers so they can almost take Shaq out of his game mentally because they were going to, like, you know, do what a Dennis Rodman would do or do what a Draymond Green would do defensively against him with their size and use that dominance against him. That's the only thing you had against Shaq. But I say that all to say you didn't even have that with KD. KD was not mentally getting in his own way.
Right.
There was nothing you could really do with that dude from a matchup situation. And the unfortunate thing in the four playoff in the four finals that they went to is that the only person that they had on the other end to defensively stop him
yeah.
or slow him down was the catch who asked him to carry offense. And that's what right. You can't ask a dude to do both.
Very true. Very true. And people ran with that, too. Like, LeBron can't do everything, man. This dude is human. Like,
no.
Like, yeah.
Not at that level. Not at that level.
Right.
Not at that level. I mean, if you're asking, you know, LeBron to do it on one, if, you know, if it's anybody else, you may be able to get away with it outside of
yeah.
or something like that. But you can't right. ask him to do what he does during the regular season to get to that level when you're in the finals and against that team.
Yeah.
All right, man, we need you to not only match KD point for point, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right, we need you to slow him down at the same. That's an impossible ask. You
right.
can't put a man on an island like that for seven games and expect him to come out alive.
Right, and also we got Klay Thompson and Steph Curry too, so you got to step a little bit more. So I don't know
yes.
fuck he's going to do that.
Right.
And, but, crazy.
Yeah, it's like asking Kyrie to do the exact same thing.
Right.
Like, look, man, we need 30 from you, but we also need you to kind of keep Steph below 30. Like, what?
Right.
Like, and in that position, at least with him, you might get some help.
Yeah.
With Kyrie's situation.
Yeah, that's true. He was there offensively. He was there.
Yeah. Yeah, but at least in this situation, you could, like, I think back in the day, you throw a Dellavedova on him or something. You had another guard that
yeah.
you could help out. There's nobody on that squad that once LeBron goes to the bench, that's it. You have nobody that can do anything with KD.
Exactly.
Nobody. And
exactly. And that's evolution of the NBA, man. It's a beautiful thing. You just alluded to one of the greatest players, Olajuwon. His footwork, he was one of the players ahead of his time back
yeah.
in that time. His footwork was crazy.
Yeah.
You know what's coming? You couldn't do nothing with it.
Nah.
Nothing.
Nah.
Like,
not at that size. It was a
– Yes.
You know, he's easily the most fluid center we've ever seen, you know. And we're talking about someone that really did it at both ends. Like, it's hard to say whether he was better offensively or defensively.
Right.
He's probably one of the most complete centers on both ends of the floor that we're ever going to see. And it goes to the fluidity, you know, and how he saw the game and how he approached the game.
Right.
And his footwork was amazing, but to me it was more of his sight and how he handled the leadership role of being the guy.
Yeah.
You know, they always give, like, point guard, you know, credit for making people around them better.
Right.
But look at how much better he made Kenny Smith. Look how much better he made Robert Horry. Look how much
yes.
better he made Sam Cassell. You know, look how much better he made Vernon Maxwell. Look how much better, you know, look at the players that were around him and look how much better he made them.
Because of his presence.
Ellie's of the world. Everybody. And
yeah.
that's not necessarily his footwork. That's what he did by running an offense from inside out. Get it to me. I'm going to get everybody involved. You know, we're
right.
going to drop down. You know, getting the offense started with either a block shot or a rebound. Just all the things that he did to him that are beyond just his footwork. They funneled into why that team won, you know, back-to-back championships and why, you know, when they even weren't winning championships, they were in the conversation.
Yeah,
you know, as every year, as being that team in the West, you know, so yeah, he was not only ahead of his time because I think he's, you know, almost as responsible for changing the way big men play, you know, and that side of the game, and as much as like Steph is, you know, as far as changing the point guard position into just not running the team, but running the team from a scorer's mentality, you know.
Right.
Because if you look at the big men after Hakeem, look at the Dirks, look at the, you know, Kevin Garnett, you know, look at the, you know, just look at the way everybody's playing right now. The game's become
yes.
positionless. You
yes.
know, a lot of, look at the Giannis, you know, and how they run the floor, you know, and he, to me, is the initiator of all that. He's the one that made the big man start looking at the and playing the game differently. And,
yes.
you know, like I said, I think his footwork was beyond anything we had ever seen before. Because
right.
he had a, you know, most players have, like, two moves. Great players have three. It's that unicorn player that has that fourth move. That's that Kobe and that.
Right, right. Yes.
Right, right. Like, they have, well, whatever you meet for them, they have a move. And if you catch that move, they have a counter for you catching that move.
That's crazy.
Right.
That's...
Then they have that third move. Right? And that third move is usually what loses the defender. But if you're playing defense smart, that third move is where the double team comes in.
Right.
It's those unicorn players that got that fourth move to get out that double team. That's the one.
Yeah.
And Kobe and Olajuwon are players that had that fourth move. And
beautiful.
Sometimes it was a pass, you know, because the defense is sagged in on them.
Right.
They get so many open shots. Sometimes it's just a fourth move to free themselves, you know, give them that space that they need so they can score and make shots easier for themselves. You know, it's just, it's that crazy fourth move. And Olajuwon had that. But what's happened is once all these 6'10 guys, these 7-footers saw that he was able to do that,
yeah,
they immediately started, like, incorporating that type of fluidity into their game. And not many have reached that fourth move. A lot of them got that third move, but back in the day, centers usually only had one move.
Right.
You know, but he changed all of that. And now you're seeing, you know, these big, you know, Joel Embiid is a classic example of how the games come.
Yeah.
As being like the, you know, the second Olajuwon. We always talk about who's the next Jordan and all this, that, and the other. We were giving that title away to everybody from, you know, Vince Carter to Kobe to Dwayne Wade. Like, you know, because
right.
we can see so much of the influence in this game.
Right.
You know, let's be real. You know, Joel Embiid is nothing but the next Olajuwon. Exact same thing.
Totally agree. Footstep work is crazy as hell, too. And he's stepping outside trying to get his 3-point percentage up.
So. Yeah. He has more range. Yeah, he definitely has more range than Olajuwon. But he can't drop dimes like Olajuwon did. No disrespect. But Olajuwon's passing game was insane.
Yes.
And as good as Embiid is defensively, I don't want to say he blocks shots. He doesn't block shots the way Olajuwon does, but he can, when he wants to, hit the boards better than Olajuwon, which is a hard thing to say.
Right.
It's a hard thing to say, but, you know, he's Olajuwon 2.0, man.
Yeah, I can see why KD wanted somebody going to play with Embiid.
That'd
be crazy, him and Harden. And Embiid together, see that?
Yeah, let's have a real question though.
Okay.
Would you lose James Harden if KD went there?
Oh, because KD will need the ball.
Well, I'm not saying just James. You know, James Harden is moody. He's moody.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And we all can see where he's not.
Place he wanted to get to in Philly with Daryl Morey, you know, and it's like, all right, we're going to build this thing again, and I'm that guy, you know, I'm committed here. Now what happens to James Harden once KD gets there? Does he slide back down? He's like, man, I already played with this dude. I wasn't feeling him really before, you know, so what?
Right.
Right. So do you lose to James Harden that Daryl Morey, you know, moved heaven and earth and Ben Simmons to get?
Right.
Do you lose him if a KD situation comes up?
Yeah, he took a pay cut. I don't think it was to get KD. It was to help him get other players around him and Embiid.
Right.
So,
maybe it's one player, maybe it's two players, but
right.
KD because he's done that before.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was already would have stayed there because he was playing with him regardless, Kyrie was
right.
there or not.
That's my point. That's
so,
my
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
That's my point. Do you lose James Harden? James like, oh, I ain't signing up for this shit.
Right. I'm thinking about NBA players. They know the real what's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
We all can speculate, but they know the real shit going on behind the scenes. So.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, players are human beings, too. You know, human beings, too. And they have, you know, I'm not saying they're in their feelings, but, you know, they have feelings. And they all, because of us, I believe, the media, we paint a picture of how we think their careers should go. And we also paint a picture of what we believe their legacies are going to be.
Right.
So those are always constantly in their mind. So a lot of times I believe players function.
Right.
Trying to have some control over their careers and legacies because of the way we, the media, put that out there as an impossibility for them to not think about.
Right.
They have to think about it all the time because all we do in the media right now is have legacy talk.
Very true.
You know, players are in their like, 5th and 6th years, and we're already thinking about where their legacy is going to be, you know, when they get through playing, which is insane.
Right.
But we do that. And so players hear that, so now damn near every decision they make is to try to have some control over that because we're already talking about it.
Right.
And when their careers are over, we're going to be the same fool talking about it.
Yeah, and there's some players that get married because they don't have a championship. There's a lot of great players don't have a championship.
Exactly.
Like Charles Barkley's one. I mean, CP3 is – I don't know if he's going to get a ring, man. He had ended his career almost in the West is stacked and East. So he's got a whole problem, bro. They got a lot of shit to go through to try and get a championship. And that year they went, I can say that's a waste of year because you can't guarantee to get back. You're not guaranteed to get back there. Look what happened this past season. They got smoked by the Mavericks.
Right.
CP3 got a battle in front of him, bro. He got a fight in front of him. Like,
but at least he tried to do what he could to get there.
Yeah.
The problem is that he knows that if he doesn't get one, you know, that's going to be the conversation and that's a captive legacy for the rest of his career. And it's really not fair. But what do you do as a player if you have no control over that?
Yeah, that's true. You only control what's in front of you to a certain point. You're on a team, but you're going to control a certain amount of shit on a team you're on. So
right. So
let
me ask you a question. Seriously, I'm really serious about this because we're talking about legacies now.
Right.
Do you do what you can to avoid having that conversation? Because, like you just mentioned, Charles Barkley has to deal with it his entire life. Reggie Miller has to deal with it his entire life. Elgin Baylor has to deal with it his entire life.
Right.
You can go, Tracy McGrady has to deal with his entire life. You know, John Stockton, Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing. We can go through players that's never going to escape them.
Right.
Now, if you're Chris Paul, do you see that in like, I can avoid that by like doing like a Gary Payton and a, you know, Jason Kidd move?
Jumping teams.
Right, seriously, because we don't talk and include them and look at the – and Gary Payton had minimal impact on Miami winning that ring. But because he got one, he ain't part of the conversation.
Right.
Jason Kidd was on the back end of his career when he got his ring. Right?
Right.
Even though he was starting point guard for Dallas.
Yeah.
Really, you know, I think having him there helped. But Tyson Chandler was, to me, the difference maker because that's who came in and changed everything. They finally got a center so that Dirk could do his thing. We don't attack Jason Kidd to the no championship conversation.
Right.
He wasn't the reason Dallas won, you know, Dallas won it, but we can't say that about him.
Yeah.
Bill Walton, even though he won one early, you know, he's not in the conversation. He solidified that by going to Boston and being the sixth man. He's like, y'all ain't going to say that bad about me. Y'all ain't going to say I just won one. Nate Archibald went at the very end of his career to the Boston Celtics.
Right.
One of the greatest point guards ever. And even before we even started to have these conversations in the media, he's like, it didn't happen to me. And guess what? We don't bring him up in the conversation.
Very true.
You know, but Russell Westbrook's going to have to deal with it.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? That's what's funny.
Yeah.
You didn't have to deal with it because in year whatever, 13 or 14 his career, he got with the Boston Celtics and won a ring. But
exactly.
Russell Westbrook, you know, who's just as great as probably Nate Archibald from a legacy standpoint,
is
going to have to deal with it his whole career.
Yeah, so, I don't see Russ getting a ring anytime soon.
Right,
he's got the Lakers this year, and anything he goes after that, he's not going to get that role that he thinks he might get because in order to contender, he's going to come off the bench damn near because everybody has
that's
his
fine.
Starting.
That's
will
fine,
he do that though? Like,
But my question is, do you do that just to get a ring?
I think it depends on who you are.
At the end of the day, there's one guy we didn't even mention, but he transcended the game so much, we don't tend to bring it up about him, and that's Allen Iverson.
Yeah, he's known for something else totally. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
But he didn't get a ring, and he was fortunate enough to be that one, like, anomaly to this situation where not getting a ring isn't held against him because it seems like he was so much bigger than the game.
You're absolutely right. No one misses him in that conversation. You're right. Nobody
misses him in that conversation. Right.
You're absolutely right.
Right. He was able to avoid it, but everybody can't be that.
Right. True.
Everybody can't be that. He's a very unique person in this conversation. Yeah, but everybody else, the Chris Pauls, the Russell Westbrooks, all these guys, they have to deal with the fact that, you know, there's only so much I control this conversation. Do I want this to follow me for the rest of my year?
Right. I don't see where CP3 could go after this year if they don't win it because he just signed a contract extension, though. I don't think he's going to win a ring, bro. I don't.
And he might not. And that should be fine. To me, that should be fine. I think you play to get it, but there's only a very few to get, you know, rings. The NBA always talks about how small that family is, that brotherhood is.
Yeah.
That there's only been like 4,000 players to ever play the game. Of those 4,000, how many got rings, man?
Crazy.
Right. So it's not only is it not guaranteed, it's a very, very hard thing to get in. Everything has to fall in place damn near in order for you, an individual player, to get a ring.
Right,
but that
right.
should not have the type of impact that we've made it have on these players' legacy. And I think because the media has gotten so big over the last 20 years and we've made it such a point of players' careers and legacies that – while they're playing, they can't avoid thinking about it, and they'll do what they have to do to not have to listen to that for the rest of their lives. Because really, they listen to it for the rest of their lives. And if you have any insecurity about that, and if you have any insecurities about your career, then that's going to eat away at you. You know, eat away at you. You know, Charles Barkley has a great sense of humor, so it doesn't like mess with him too much.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Patrick Ewing is very secure in who he is. He's like, look, hey, man, I did what I could, you know, to get there. And he's like, if you ask me, hell, I was injured. You know, one of those times we went to the finals. There's nothing I could do about it. You know, I've been having a lot of conversations with George Gervin, and he doesn't have one.
Right.
And he makes a great point in our conversations of that, you know, you look at, you know, what winning some championships have done to certain players. You know, how obsessed you have to be. You know, what it does to you as a human being sometimes. You know, look at the status of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen's relationship right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, if that's what it takes to win a ring, look at what Kobe and Shaq had to go through.
Yeah.
You know, if I have to go through that to win a ring, man, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I'm good without one. If that's what it takes to become a champion, you know, I'll do without it. You know, I did what I could to get there, but it's not all it was cracked up to be as far as my legs. Hey, I played the game at the highest level. I did my thing. And if you're like a Chris Paul, you know, you should be happy and comfortable with knowing that, hey, I got to a finals, I played my ass off, did all I could during my career. I'm one of the 75 greatest to ever do this.
Yes.
That should speak enough. The fact that I didn't get a ring should not be what I hear, you know, from now on until my grave, or once I retire to my grave.
Yes.
That should be that strong of a footnote in all the work that I put in.
Yeah, definitely.
Understand? Now, we do that. That's on us. So it's funny why we get mad at players for bouncing around and trying to find a way and doing everything they can without understanding our role in creating that type of environment and that type of headspace for the players to feel the way that they do and make the decisions that they make.
Yeah,
a lot of it's on us, man. We need to own that shit.
Yeah, that's true, because a lot of players, they stray up to the media a lot. KD's one of them. KD replied quick as hell.
Yeah.
To strangers and now media, too. KD have time some days, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, but KD's like Joel Embiid. He's like, look, we can get petty with the best of them.
Right.
You know, and Chris Paul admitted he's petty. You know, so I'm like, you know, there's a lot of pettiness going on, especially with social media. But
yeah.
I wasn't even getting to the social media standpoint. I was just dealing with the media as a whole.
Yeah,
you know, and I
definitely.
Guess nowadays you have to take, I mean, it depends on how seriously you take social media. But the media is a large, large entity that has set a standard of public conversation that only it can control.
Yeah,
not
right.
Social media, not players, only the media itself really dictates how it sets the agenda, how public discourse. Is you know, the direction public discord is going to take when it comes to sports.
Yeah,
they
a lot
control
of
that. So as long as, you know, like, see, how long is this? Let's say for the last, give or take, 15 years. Tell me if that's fair or not.
Yes, sir.
The last 15 years, having a ring has been a point of conversation that's been held against players who don't have one. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's very fair.
Okay, so we really been dealing with this as a generalized topic of conversation for the last 15 years. And there's been no way to shake that, right? It hasn't been avoided because we're still talking about it now, correct?
Right.
So what makes a current player right now feel that that's going to end anytime soon?
I don't know, because it's still, like you just said, it's still a major topic. Like,
right, exactly. So my question to you, if you're Chris Paul, and you're 35 years old, right?
Right.
You might have 2 or 3 years left. The life expectancy of the average human being right now is 77 years old, okay?
Right.
So, you know, if Chris Paul retires at 30, whatever, if let's see, Chris Paul still has 40 years. 40 years. Just with the general life expectancy.
Right.
You have to deal with this conversation that he cannot leave. After you played your ass off and done what he's done, you know what I'm saying, being one of the top 5 point guards ever, putting your blood on that dance floor like that.
Yeah.
Do you really want that thing to chase you like that, man, for 40? Like, you can't avoid it. Your family got to hear that, man.
Yeah.
So if all you got to do is sit on the end of somebody's bench, you know, just to get a ring to avoid that,
right.
Or you go to a team to do whatever you can to avoid, don't you try to do that.
I mean, if Golden State do it back-to-back, that might cross his mind.
Right, exist. So, yeah, that's my point. I want us to have a conversation where we put this in perspective, and it's not just a basketball thing.
Right.
It's a career legacy, and it's a life thing, because these players have to deal with this as a part of their legacy.
Right.
Not their career. It's beyond their career. It's their legacy, man. And they can't take that.
I think Golden State might be a real option to him if it doesn't work out for the Suns. Because they have Jordan Poole, Wiseman coming back. They still got Steph, Klay, basically still in their primes.
Yeah.
I mean, their system is unfallible. Like, you know what's coming. You can't stop it. There's too many screens and too much good shooters around you.
Right.
Like, you can't stop that shit. Unless they stop themselves.
And if all I got to do is just be a part of a team to get the ring, look, if you're not built to handle that, then I understand 100% why players would do whatever they can, you know, while they're in the situation to avoid that from being that, like I said, that large footnote.
Yeah, you see,
it's not even about them getting in the ring. It's not even about them, like, reaching that mountaintop and accomplishing that goal. It's about not having to live with it.
Yeah, you see how many players followed LeBron to get a ring?
Yeah.
Crazy. When he made the big three called the Heatles, people lined up to sit on the bench just to be a part of that shit because they knew what was going to happen. It took them 2 years to do it, but after they did it, it started rolling. They got two out of it. They went back to the fourth string, I believe.
Yeah.
They knew what was coming, and they lined up to sit the bench.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, man, give me this. And it used to be back in the day where players would win championships and you stay with the team and you made money.
Right.
By just, like, marking the standpoint of being a champion of that team.
Yeah.
You know, it's like once you become a world champion, they stamp that on you. So all of your fees go up. Like,
yes.
If you're in commercials now, if they were going to pay you, like, whatever, if they're going to pay you $200,000 to be a spokesperson for this brand.
Right. Right.
You got world champion, right? That $200,000 just went to $300,000 to $350,000.
Yeah.
You know, that world champion is something you parlay. Your speaking fees goes up. Your appearance fees goes up. You know, everything goes up when you become a world champion. That used to be the thing. Now, it's just about not having to hear it for the rest of your life that you weren't a champion. That's really
Definitely.
All it's trying to avoid. And it's amazing how that has changed the game. To your point,
yeah.
though, that's why you see players like, hey, let me get this ring. Just let me get this ring. I'll do
right.
it. But money be damned. I just want to have this ring because I'm not trying to hear this for the rest of my life.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, also, people have to take it. Like I said, it's not guaranteed. Look at Al Horford. He just finally made his first finals.
Yeah.
Out of all those years, he's played. Crazy.
Yeah.
Like, shit ain't guaranteed, bro. You got to take
advantage
of that shit.
It's not. You got to take advantage of it. But like I said, look at Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady. You know, and you know, two transcendent players of
yes.
a certain era.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that, you know, they would love to have rings, you know, just to not have to hear for the rest of their lives that they don't have rings.
Right.
That's all. Just to get at, you know, there's another player that we didn't even mention who not only didn't have a ring, never played in a final. That's Steve Nash.
Oh, that's true. Coach Steve Nash. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
He was a floor general. We tried to work on it coaching-wise, but.
Two-time MVP.
Yes. Yes.
Two-time MVP, and he doesn't have a ring.
Yes.
You know, so it's a unique situation that we're in. But I've always looked at it from that perspective, and that's why I've always kind of sided with players
right.
having the ability to move around. And avoid that because I don't look at it as them trying to get a ring. I look at it as them trying to not have to deal with us saying they don't have a ring.
Then there's the exceptions. We have Bradley Beal, who seems perfectly happy in Washington.
Yeah.
And he I think he knows he's not gonna win a championship there.
Right.
But, I mean, he's secure. He's totally
yeah, he's
secure.
Fine. Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah,
he's fine.
Yeah, he's
fine.
One of the players. Yeah, he's one of the players that can accept not having a ring. He won't. I don't think he'll ring, Steve. Because at this point, he has too many chances to go somewhere else to try and win now. So why we went to the back of his career to sit him on his bench?
And everybody's not built like that.
True, very true.
Everybody's not built. You know, it's interesting you mentioned Bradley Beal. DeMar DeRozan is going to be an interesting one.
True.
Because he literally, I mean, it wasn't going to happen unless Kawhi got there.
Yeah.
You know, but he, to play on the team as long as he did and then get traded, and then that year you get traded, they win a ring?
Yeah, that was probably crazy to tell him. Like, damn, like, what the fuck? Like.
right. But as, and you hate to do it as a man. And it's hard to do as a competitor, too. But you have to acknowledge, that man just happened to be a better ball player than I was. You know what I'm saying? He did what I couldn't.
Right.
Now, it helped that they had a coaching change at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, but the things, you know, that's what I'm saying. Part of getting a ring, everything has to fall in place as well. There's a
yes,
lot
it
of
does.
Things that fall in place, yeah.
Yes, injuries you don't see coming to other teams,
yeah.
maybe.
Yeah.
The last few titles have been determined by injuries. You can look at any team, someone going past the team, someone was hurt, you could say if he was here, it'd be him. Or some injuries you can overlook, but some you can't.
Right. Yo, you can go further back than that. I'll go to probably the last eight.
I can agree.
Yeah, I mean, but it didn't happen in the final rounds. You can go
yeah.
like right when the playoffs start or whatever, who's not there.
Right.
You can go back to question whether Golden State even wins it if Kawhi doesn't get hurt by, you know, Patricia.
Stepped on his foot, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
like
yeah.
The dynamic, how that changed everything.
Yeah, because they were up. They were up 2-1, I believe.
They were winning by like 20 in that first game.
Yeah, that game. I'm sorry. Yeah, they're up that game. Yeah, that
yeah,
game.
Yeah, they were getting
in
their ass. They were letting it be known. Like, yo, we not. Like,
yeah.
Real.
Yeah, that changed the whole complexion of the whole series.
Right, and this is a guy who already got a Finals MVP, and he's trying to prove I can do this without, you know, these other two dudes. You know what I'm saying? I can hold this down. He did, and that's why I think that conversation is important, because I'm not taking anything away from Toronto,
right.
But Kawhi did in Toronto what he was trying to prove before he got hurt in San Antonio.
Right.
Like, I can drag a squad by myself.
Yeah.
You know, and think about it. It's to say Kawhi did nothing different than what Kevin Durant did, but he just didn't go to a new team. You know, how does a player with three Hall of Famers on that team elevate himself to be the best team, best player in that squad? How do you get a Finals MVP when Tim Duncan is still playing, Manu Ginobili is still playing, and Tony Parker is still playing? How do you elevate yourself over them? It's no different with KD than going to Golden State.
Right.
I got three Hall of Famers on here, but I'm going to show you I'm that dude.
Very true.
Yeah. So we've seen it done, but, you know, it's you have to be built to be able to do that. And Kawhi had already had his ring, so I think he's just greedy trying to get other ring, which is a beautiful thing. Like,
right.
I'm talking about players getting one ring. Kawhi's like, I want multiple rings, so y'all can't say anything about me. Y'all can't say I did it with Tim, I did it without them. Now
right.
Y'all can't say I did it with I wanna just do this
right.
In any possible way. So when you have these real
yeah.
conversations, you can't avoid me. But let's go back to what we started about. The injury of him changed the direction of that entire playoff series to many people. And I think what he did in Toronto solidified that, because he showed us that, hey, you give me a little bit, I can make a lot of it. Same way what Dwayne Wade was able to do.
Right.
You know, you give me a little bit. Give me a half of Shaq, a half of Antoine Walker, a fourth of Gary Payton, and you know, part of Udonis Haslam. Hey,
right.
Just give me that, and I can win one. You know,
yeah.
Look, if we talk about if Kyrie Irving doesn't get injured in that first game in the finals against Golden State, what happens there?
Yeah, a whole bunch of waters all over the place, man. Like,
yeah. If we're being real honest, what happens if? You know, who is their center? Why am I forgetting his name? Who is Golden State center?
Draymond.
Huh?
Draymond.
No.
Oh, you mean
no.
It?
No, the series where Draymond got suspended, kicked out the game.
Oh, yeah, when he got suspended. What was that center? It was famous for Kamar right now. It's just on mine.
I can't think of his last name. That's killing me. Anyway, he got hurt. He missed the last couple of games of that series. So, how does that play in them losing, them being up 3-1, where they lose their starting center and lose on Green for two games technically?
Right.
You know, you lose in a final series, you lose 2/5 of your starting lineup.
Yeah.
It's going to affect you.
Yeah, momentum in basketball is a hell of a thing. Once the Cavs got the momentum,
yeah.
It was a landslide.
yeah. I mean, you could come back from, you know, a 3-1 situation.
Yeah.
What happens if Houston, if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt?
Yeah, that was major. That was a major injury.
So we could go back. It ain't just the last couple of years, man. We can go back and,
yeah.
like, look at where injuries have played a role in – at least the last 8.
Yes. That's the beauty of the game also, man. You got to take advantage of that when you're there, bro. You never know.
That's why we always say everything in order to get a ring, and that's what I think makes this whole rings conversation so important.
Right.
It really validates how everything has to be right to get it,
yeah.
to get one. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's irresponsible of us to throw that situation out there as if it's not necessary for so many things to go right in order to get one, and hold it against players.
Yeah, that's true. A whole lot got to go right.
Like Chris Paul's case, like, yo, yeah, Chris never got a ring. Well, you know, it seemed like damn near every year he was getting injured. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
That's never a player's fault. You know, but technically what we're doing is acting like those injuries don't matter.
They do. They definitely do.
Yeah, they definitely do, because on that Houston squad, if he doesn't get hurt, they probably got a strong shot at doing that, like a strong, strong shot at doing that.
Right. Yeah, you're talking about Houston Rockets, James Harden. James Harden,
yeah.
That's a whole different Harden.
Right. Right.
That was a great space Harden right there.
Right. And you, Chris Paul, what James Harden hasn't been able to do in the playoffs, Chris Paul can cover that.
Right, right.
Right. And that
exactly.
changes everything, because now the pressure isn't on James to do that. Like, no, Chris, like, man, I'm the clutch one in this conversation. So you
yeah.
just do what you regularly do and give me the force. I got it. And I make the game so much easier for you. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Yeah, it's just so many things have to go right. And like I say, we can look at the last 8-10, you know, finals and, like, look at how things broke right for one team and things didn't break right for another team.
Right.
And why that team didn't get a championship, but yet and still, when we talk about players not having rings, we don't take all of that in consideration.
That's true. You're right. You're absolutely right. A whole lot of factors go into that.
Yes, exactly. A whole lot of factors.
Man, one player I want to talk about before I let you go is the great Allen Iverson.
Yes.
Talk about his influence on the game. He came to the game and just did it his way. I mean, he came at Jordan from the door, put his foot down, I'm here. And the cornrows, the style that he wore, and he gives everyone their roses, current players and past players, everyone their roses every day he's alive.
Yeah.
He deserves his all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a basketball historian in much the same way that, like, a Mike Tyson is a boxing historian, you know.
Right.
If everyone can pay attention and sit down and talk with Mike, man, his boxing knowledge and appreciation for boxing
right.
is insane. And Al is kind of like the same way, the way he feels about basketball.
Right.
You know, and it's amazing because, he, I don't know if he would have had the same impact, but he could have done the same thing from an athletic standpoint in the NFL, you know, if given a chance, because he was that good.
Right.
You know, and his he almost feels the same way historically about football as he does about basketball, but his appreciation for basketball runs deep.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, to me it's like Mike Tyson, you know, when boxing is actually more like, if you think about it, Chuck D and hip-hop. You know, you'll never hear Chuck D have a bad word about anybody because his appreciation for the art form is
right.
so great. He gives right. every MC, every DJ, every producer, every graph artist, every writer, he gives everybody that possibly contributed to
right.
this culture. And Allen's much the same way, in that you very rarely hear him say anything bad about anybody who's ever made it to the NBA, because he knew and knows still what it took and takes to
right.
get to that level and play there. And that's a different level of appreciation. And, you know, I think, you know, we live in a society at this current state that is so about I, so about
yeah.
me.
Right.
So, you know, we're living in a, you know, generation of narcissism where I don't know if you're going to see somebody like that, you know, who individually, you know, has so much impact on society.
Right.
But he's outwardly not about himself that way.
Perfectly
you know?
Put.
Yeah.
Perfectly put.
Yeah. He's, Steph is kind of like that. Steph is really not a me person either. And even if you listen to him speak, you know, and I paid attention to that during this last final run, he
right.
very rarely said the word I. He very rarely used the word my. You hear players
right.
all the time, oh, my team.
Right.
You know, my teammate, you know, all this and the other, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's my, you know, Steph very rarely, it was all we. It was all us.
Yeah.
You know, and he speaks that way. You know, he
yeah.
speaks, which we don't get a lot. And while, you know, Allen Iverson, I can't say that, you know, that he claimed that, but, you know, even when he was playing, he was always giving, you know, not just flowers, but, you know, credit, acknowledgement.
Yeah.
You know, basically respect at the end of the day. You know, he was giving respect to everybody that he went up against.
Right.
You know, even in the, you know, something that a lot of players couldn't do. You know, it's hard to, like, you know, give somebody their props, still go give them 45.
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
You know, like, I remember during the finals, he was like, man, you know, he spoke to me about how much he loved Kobe. Like, and how, like, Shaq's the greatest center ever. This is during the finals when it's up against him.
Right.
Man, when he stepped on that dance floor, though.
Right.
I love you, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hey, we in it right now.
Yeah, on the court is war. Off the court, we friends. On the court is war.
Yeah. It's kind of like what Emma did to Serena yesterday. You know, that was her first time playing Serena yesterday in her life. And she's like, oh, my God, it's Serena Williams.
Right.
But... hey, I got to take care of business. You know, you're my idol. You're the greatest player to ever do this. All this, that, and the other. But we got business, then. You know,
right?
You know, Larry Holmes got in the ring. With, you know, with Muhammad Ali. You know, you see that? Like, hey, man, I love you. I was your sparring partner. You're the reason I even got into boxing. But you know, there's a belt to be gotten, and there's a check to cash. So. Come and take this ass whooping, man. I love you, but you got to take it.
Definitely,
and,
man.
You know, Allen was one of those individuals, like you said, that he was able to still love and appreciate and respect the people he was going up against while he was playing,
right?
But still do his business. You know, still be an all Michael Jordan and give him 45. You know what I'm saying? It's
right.
It's a hard thing for some athletes to do because they believe that you can't have that type of love and still give it to the next individual.
Right.
Yeah, but Allen was built different. Allen was really, really, really built differently. And he's really built differently now because, you know, he's giving out flowers, candy, ice cream, you know, confetti.
Right.
He's giving everybody everything.
Right.
I don't think there's a player that ever played the game that he does not like.
Definitely, man. Scoop, man, it's always a pleasure to always be track of time talking to you, man. That's one of the greatest episodes I can do. It's always a pleasure speaking with you, bro.
Always. And, you know, keep in mind, man, I like the fact that you're opening up to have these conversations. And I think the one thing we need to, like, at least acknowledge and would like for people to think about when having these conversations about legacy and, you know, the impact the players have and this, that, and the other, we started off talking about KD.
Right.
You know, and the one thing we really didn't bring up in conversation, I don't know if you did it purposely, you know, we didn't really take KD to task for making the decision to publicly request a trade or what they're saying, I'll demand a trade. You know, it seems to be this narrative and conversation, you know, going across all sports landscapes about him – about, like, pointing the finger at him being in the wrong. But one, doing this because he signed a contract. Two, doing this because it seems like he's running away from, like, really challenging and trying to get with all these other conversations.
Right.
And I get all that. But the one thing I think we need to keep in mind when we make these comments and have these conversations is, do we want the players to have the choice or do we want the players not to have the choice?
Yeah, because we all know that if management is happy with you or see something better, they're going to trade you. You don't have any trade clause.
Right.
So it's
exactly.
Like it's
exactly. So it's either got to be one or the other.
Yeah, true.
So do we want the players to have the choice? Because if we want the players to have the choice, then we can't, like, you know, microscopically take issue with how they act
the
choices that they make.
Right. You can't say something when it doesn't benefit the league worldwide.
Right. But
that.
At
you
the
can't.
End of the day, you know, we were mad when they didn't have the choice. And it wasn't too long ago that they didn't have the choice. That's why Oscar Robertson fought in court for players to have the choice.
Right.
So that the ownership didn't have all the power to make the choice for the players.
Right.
You know, it's the same way I spoke about the media. If we were doing our jobs correctly, then, you know, a lot of the players now wouldn't be chasing rings, so they didn't have to, like, have these conversations about not having to chase them for the rest of their lives. If
Very
the owners acted like human beings back in the day, when they had all the power, then the players
right.
wouldn't try to force themselves to have some type of leverage on the direction their careers are going.
True.
So we as a society, when we're looking at a Kevin Durant and having these public conversations about, you know, our issues with the way he's handling this situation, we need to get down to the root of it. Do you want him to have the choice or not have the choice? That's the only conversation we need to have. We don't need to get into the minutia of how they handle these choices.
Yeah.
We need to just be happy that there was and is, there was a free agency that was established for the players to do this,
right.
and that this level of free agency does exist so that they're not treated the way they used to be treated before free agency was even established.
Very true. That's very true. And sticking with Durant, I mean, he was a free agent, so he went to Golden State, and Golden State wasn't really a super team. He had, the whole core was built out of draft picks. A lot of people keep calling him a super team because of the talent there, but that more of that talent was grown. He just added
yes.
something that was unstoppable. Like,
right.
you know what I mean?
He made them a super team. And keep this in mind, man. This is something I hardly ever hear anybody talk about. What happens if Kevin Durant decides to stay in Oklahoma City? Because they're like, they could have beat them. They were up 3-1. He should have stayed in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
We spoke earlier about not getting the guarantees from Kyrie
right.
in Kevin Durant's case. Now, it's my belief that Russell Westbrook wasn't going to give him a guarantee that he was going to stay there the next year because that was the last year of Russell's contract.
Yeah, that's true.
So, if I'm Kevin Durant, if I can't get a guarantee from Russell Westbrook that he's going to be there
yeah.
after this year, James Harden's already gone, right?
Right.
So why am I going to sign a 5-year deal to stay with a team and I'm going to be here on my own?
Yeah,
I can't get a guarantee from Russ. And this is not a guarantee in writing. This is just a, hey, man, nah, you know, if you stay here, I'm going to stay with you.
Right.
I don't know any player that's going to really do that. And you can't do that on a handshake deal because, you know, the season could go bad and the rest of it, man, I changed my mind.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
That's the one thing I always – that's one of the two things, is that people forget that there was no guarantee that Russ was going to re-sign anyway. That's one. And without
right.
getting that type of guarantee, if you're Kevin Durant, why do you sign back there? That's one.
Right.
Do you sign just a 1-year deal just to see if you could go back and make another run at Golden State and then leave the next year? Do you
right.
do that? Is that what they're asking them to do? And if that's what you're asking them to do, then here's the second part of that. People act like Durant did not go back, you know, did not go to Golden State. That the same Golden State team that, you know, Oklahoma City lost to or was up 3-1 again,
right.
that same team was going to come back the next year. Think about this. Golden State was not like all in or nothing on Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant said no to them
right.
when they went to the Hamptons and he said, nah, I'm going to stay with Oklahoma City one more year.
Right.
You don't think with all that type of money that Golden State was just going to sit and not do anything?
Oh, they were.
Free agents that were out
yeah.
there. Golden
yeah.
State was about to get better.
Yeah.
So with Oklahoma already losing James Harden, not having James Harden, if Kevin Durant resigns and he and Russell Westbrook go back to try to beat them, they're going against a team that either has a brand, you know, whoever was a free agent, that's
right. right.
They're
right.
coming back stronger.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to beat them. They're going to lose anyway.
Right.
Golden State is not going to sit on that type of money and come back empty.
right.
The end of
and,
the
have, and have that core growing.
Kevin Durant, you're going to say no? I can't think off the top of my head who was available at that time, but please go back and look at who were free agents that same year that Kevin Durant signed it. Golden
right.
State is getting either one or two of them. Now, they had max money player to get. They may have gotten two players. Because I don't know if there's another max player. But there's at least one or two players available to them that they were going to get instead of Kevin Durant. So either way, Golden State was going to be better.
Yeah, we all feel.
People never talk about that when they bring this whole KD thing up, like as if he had signed back with Golden State that they were gonna, you know, run back. There was no way in hell they're gonna beat whatever Golden State was gonna come back with the next year.
Yeah, because we all see how the Colts are in Golden State. They about winning.
Right, they about winning, and they just went to the first dude, and the first dude was like, "Yeah." Because if Kevin Durant had said no, they're like, "All right, next, who's up next?"
Yeah,
Dwight Howard. Yeah, let's go get him. All right. Is Oklahoma City going to beat Golden State if they get Dwight Howard? I think Bradley Beal may have been available.
Yeah.
I can't remember who was all available.
I'm a deaf look. I forget right now. I'm a deaf look.
Yeah. It's like, you know, who – man, there was too many other people that were available at that time. You know, but here's the thing, man. Nobody ever brings that up. Nobody ever looks at it that way. They are so comfortable in just settling on, like, what's the easy conversation to have without doing any depth.
Right. A lot of people just look at the actions and don't look for the reasons behind them. Like, you got to look at the rules.
What the reality is behind it. And the reality
is
all that money, you know, Bob Myers and company were not just going to sit there and let that wait.
Yeah, and then Chase Center was coming up behind that too. Nah,
I got it. Look, I'm gonna tell you right now who was available. Okay.
Okay.
If KD said no to them, this is who's available as free agency for Golden State to get: DeMar DeRozan, Bradley Beal, Andre Drummond, Dwight Howard, Al Horford, Hassan Whiteside. Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's turning down Golden State on that list, bro.
Right, and none of them are getting max deals, so they can get two of them.
Yes.
They could actually say, all right, we want DeMar DeRozan and Dwight Howard. Or we want Bradley Beal and Hassan Whiteside. Or we want Al Horford and, you know, DeMar. They could get two.
Yes.
For the money they spent on Kevin Durant.
Everyone give me a double-double every night, easily.
Okay, so now Oklahoma City's coming back with the same squad, right? The same squad. And now they go up against Golden State. Come on, man. You're both having a 3-1 lead the year before they're getting swept.
Right. And
now how foolish does KD look for turning them down? Really, think about that.
Exactly.
But nobody thinks about it. Nobody has that discussion. So, you know, I think we're at the point we need to extend discussion beyond what's topical and what's easy. You know, to really have full, fleshed-out conversations. And, you know, when we start pointing the fingers and start labeling players of what they're not, really look at the whole, you know, situation, be comprehensive in how we join, jump to conclusions, be comprehensive on why and how we start pointing fingers.
Right.
You know, because what we're doing is really shaping these players' careers and legacies based off of half-ass information.
Very true.
And that's not fair to them at all.
Very true. A lot of players put in hard work to get to the point they're at right now. A lot of players put in hard work.
Right. You know, and my whole thing is, you know, keep in mind, as I said before, you know, as a society and as fans and as media, we really need to just, you know, when we have these conversations, get back to the center of it. Would you rather have the players have the choices that they have now, or have those to be what it used to be, and those players not, and those choices not be available to them? Take your stand. And if you say, I'd rather have the players not have the choice and all the power goes back to the ownership and no free agency, then fine. Then you base all of your conversation off that. But don't start picking and choosing inside of, you know, what players decide to do with the choices that they have.
Right.
You know, when their choices could easily be gone. You know,
hey, look,
and if you think that's some BS and it can't happen, you know, think about what just happened with Roe versus Wade. They just took away a whole society of choices.
Right.
It can't be made. So don't think it can't happen. And think things can't roll back to what it is. And then you're in an uproar. Wait, what are you doing? Nah, you know, you were complaining about the choices that the players were making.
Right.
You know, you didn't want them to have that power. So now that power is taken away. Stop complaining. Don't complain now.
Right. Definitely, man. Scoop, man, thank you for your time again. Always a pleasure speaking with you, bro. Always
anytime,
a pleasure.
Man, appreciate being on, partner.
Yes, sir. It's a rusty day.
Yes, sir, man. Talk soon.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
Yes, that was sports journalist, author, Scoop Jackson. Thanks for joining me. Catch you next time.